Hey guys, this is Spencer. Thanks for listening to Confessions of a Game Dev podcast. We've got really excited and talked way too much about the PlayStation release, Sony's going-ons, and all the games and things that are going to be in development in the next couple, at least months, if not years, for PS4. So we've split this up into two sections. This first section, you're going to be able to listen about all the things that they talked about, the console itself, all the new features, things and our opinions and how we view them as independent game developers. So the second section, we'll talk about all the games that they showed at the presentation, our impressions, our thoughts, everything that we liked or didn't like about the thing. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. Bye.
No, I can't even hear you. Not for recording purposes. I just can't hear you.
Oh.
When you're hugging your hamster.
Because I love my hamster.
You should probably explain what hugging your hamster means.
That's what they're calling it these days. When you have a big hamster stuffed animal in your pocket.
In your pocket?
In your pocket? in your lap. And you hug it.
This isn't making it any better.
Why did I believe leaving it to Spencer would resolve this euphemism?
Shut up.
Okay.
All right. Welcome to Confessions of a Game Dev podcast. Tonight we have a special edition that interrupts our normal edition just because it was a special event today. It's nothing big.
Today we have a replacement edition.
We have a replacement edition of what our edition's going to be about with additional content. No. Brandon's shaking his head now. No, we're excited because today was the announcement of the new Sony PlayStation console, PS4. And we are going to spend an outrageously long time, hopefully less than an hour, because it's late and we're tired, about everything that happened. Because it was quite a momentous day. It was pretty interesting. There was a lot of Twitter ranting. I was following Twitter, and I couldn't keep up, and I actually got banned temporarily because I tweeted too much, which was quite funny.
It's quite the accomplishment.
And someone's like, "Oh yeah, that's Twitter jail," and I was like, "What's Twitter jail?" So I learned about Twitter jail today, which they temporarily ban you for a couple hours, and they're like, "Dude, cut it off, you're spamming." And I'm like, "I'm not spamming, it's PlayStation, it's a difference." But it was neat because there was like, what, 20 of us in that room, mm-hmm. At least 10 of us.
We were listening to or watching the
live stream
down at the South EAE lab, so south of the university, with most of the cohort 3 of the Masters Game Program here at the U. And so all of us were there watching and commenting and in stitching hysterics most of the presentation.
who created those infographics? We need to talk to them.
Well, we're going to get into that. But we had a lot of feedback. Some of us were watching, going through Twitter and keeping track of that. Some of us were just watching and discussing as we went along. And so we're going to go over a couple of points that we thought were rather interesting.
Yes. So
also, Ashley's here.
Hi,
Ash.
We have to encourage Ashley to talk because, as was said before, there is a giant stuffed hamster in this sound booth right now.
He's pretty cute.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she is. He? She? Does it have a name?
It's a he.
Its name is Il Palazzo.
Il Palazzo?
Il Palazzo the hamster. Our new podcast mascot.
That's so going up.
You
on
should
our...
actually take a picture of him and put it up when you like
draw a picture. We'll put him as the O in the podcast.
Okay. You're on.
What O of the podcast?
Like podcast, and we'll make
you
a
have confessions
with a confessions. Yeah,
it can be the O of confessions.
Yeah, how about I have him kind of like photo bombing the image we already have at the bottom right or something?
Yes,
and he says toasty, or so, you know,
I like it. All right, we're doing it.
All right, well, sorry, Trent. Trent unfortunately is not here. He got a new schedule at work, and he won't be available for at least a couple weeks. And we're hoping that'll change, but. Until then, he gets to find out the hard way.
Why you don't leave other people alone with a microphone.
And a hamster.
And a giant hamster.
All right. I want to know, is anything interesting other than this, or do we want to just go straight into Sony and get crazy?
Well, I think we would talk about Sony. Like, I mean, before we get into
Colonial Marines happened, which is really
interesting. That's true. Let's talk about Colonial Marines for a bit. For those who don't know, Colonial Marines came out this past week, a week before that.
Mm-hmm. I forgot. I think it was last week.
When is this? When are we recording right now? We should probably say that.
Sometime. Oh, it was like the 14th of...
Today we're recording on the...
It's the 20th.
20th of February 2013. But
It was around the 14th. Like, that's a Tuesday, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, but... So Colonial Marines came out, and we were discussing about this specifically because there was people wondering... Like, was it a lie was there falsehoods in showing off a demo for something and for the game Colonial Marines, and then when you get to the, when you actually play the game, it's not even close to what the demo was. Okay. Well, it's a misrepresentation.
I think more preface, because I think it was a very interesting situation that the game comes out. Huge pre-orders. Mm-hmm. Within a day, Metacritic scores it at 44, which is crap. I mean, like, that means that is bad.
Which is sad.
Really bad. Especially for a AAA game, yeah. AAA studio. Like, that is bad. And I wonder what Duke Nukem was. But this is the same... This is Gearbox Studios, the same guys that made Borderlands, which I absolutely love. A lot of critical acclaim. But they're also the same ones that did Duke Nukem Forever, which... Mm-hmm. I guess had a lot of critical acclaim too, just the negative kind. You know, I mean, it wasn't a successful one. Borderlands 1 and 2 both were. Mm-hmm. But then they come out and they're like, all right, let's get another one out. And what's interesting is Borderlands 1 and 2 are a completely new IP just from them. Duke Nukem was IP that they purchased or licensed and got access to finish the project, which was 12 years in the making. True. Colonial Marines was something they got from Sega, which they'd owned and were supposedly in development for 6 years on, and then it finally came out. And so it, like, that's one of the questions, which is, here's a really cool demo, and like, none of this is in the gameplay. What's going on? But a lot of people are like, what the heck were you guys doing for 6 years? You know? That's almost as valid of a question as...
I think this comes down to a lot of... Because, like, whenever a game comes out, there's a lot of hype. Like, especially something... people like Aliens, okay? Aliens, the franchise.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Absolutely.
It's a big franchise. People really like Aliens, okay? I don't know if there's anyone in this room that likes Aliens.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
I forgot.
Let's just say I have, like, a little plushie of the chest bursters around my computer right now.
That's right. I forget that's what that is, because one of my daughters grabbed it, and they're like, that is so fun, I love it. And I'm like, if only you knew, sister. I've always thought it's funny that you're like, that you tell me that you grew up as a kid on those. You know, I'm watching G.I. Joe.
Was my hero when I was a little kid.
Yeah, it's like you're watching, I'm watching G.I. Joe and Transformers, and you're watching chest bursters blow out.
I'm watching Aliens.
Yeah,
I mean, Poltergeist.
Oh, I love that movie. Okay.
Completely different topic altogether.
But anyway, so people like the Aliens franchise, okay? So because of that, you have a built-in expectation. There hasn't been a great Aliens game. There's been some decent ones.
Yeah.
Okay? They're not great. Okay, and the fact that it's going to be Gearbox, they're going to do...
They just did Borderlands 1 and 2.
It was awesome. And they're the ones in charge. This is going to be great. There's some hype built, okay? You have pre-orders put in. People are putting in money. They've invested not only their effort, you know,
their
selves,
yeah,
but also their money, mm-hmm, you know? Like, oh, I'm invested in this project. And the funny part is, now pre-orders, that is a whole different conversation, but pre-orders is very Kickstarter, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. When we talked about this, I was like, man, it just feels like Kickstarter for AAA games.
It is. Okay. But that's
from GameStop, you get these things.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Oh, man. Never thought of that. And then too. Okay. Keep,
anyway. But because of that, you have investment in the product when it comes out.
Right.
And as if that, you're never going to reach every gamer's expectations. You can't. It's not possible. No matter how good your game is, you're never going to go, that is exactly the game that I wanted, especially when there's hype in somebody's head.
Yeah.
Because they're going, oh, you know, that didn't fit the game that I had in my head, so therefore it's not as good. But at the same time, when you release one that's not even close to the expectations that you've already created for yourself,
yeah,
that's when you lose a lot of customer loyalty. Like, gamers, I mean, any consumers are willing to overlook minor problems if the overall thing is good. If the overall experience is, this is really fun, okay? Yeah, a couple of things don't quite work as well as you want, but, you know, for the most part, it's a really good game, okay? That'd be great. Even, and this is the other part, if all the parts of the demo weren't in the game, but the game was good, nobody would care.
Which is Half-Life 2, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's, and I mean, Half-Life 2, their demos are like, look at these physics, look at these crazy things, we're going to do this and that. And it's like, where did that go? Who cares?
The game's awesome, so forget it. And that's, gamers are very quick to forget things when it serves the purpose of, the game is fun, I like playing it, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're willing to give you that benefit of the doubt. They're like, okay, the stuff that was in demo was not there. But when you create that expectation, then you give them the exact same thing, only it's not nearly as good as when you showed off this thing 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Then, or more, then I think you haven't crossed a line, but you just like, you've lost a little loyalty from your customers, specifically because, you know, why should they be loyal to you anymore?
I wish I could remember who this was, but, our transactions as developers are not physical content or discs or code or, you know, art assets. Our transactions that we do on a day-to-day basis, either with the end player or within each other or with publishers, you're selling your goodwill,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, I mean, your goodwill is just as valuable as everything else. And I'm working on a contract deal for a children's iPad app, and boy, I feel like I'm kind of at the end rope. And I guess I can empathize with Gearbox that they were probably at a point where Sega's like, dude, we're sick and tired of waiting on this. You guys need to get on this, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's speculation that Borderlands kept delaying Aliens, then Borderlands 2 delayed Aliens, and I heard one person say that both Borderlands 2 and Aliens were supposed to be released within like a month of each other, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Type of expectation.
Having one development team do both.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, yeah. But somehow they got into a sense of, we have so much goodwill, and we're cashing in, but they're starting to bounce checks, you know?
Mm.
And unfortunately, this game's going to make a lot of people doubt, and hopefully they can recover from it. I don't know if it's a Borderlands 3 that's going to do it, or
I wonder
game, but...
I, this is my own speculation, but I wonder if it's really going to hurt them in the long run at all.
Hmm.
My thing is, and this is something we forget a lot of times as developers, people who are looking at the industry from a industry perspective.
Okay.
A lot of gamers don't know the difference between a Call of Duty gamer who buys Call of Duty every year. Some of them don't understand why zombies are in it 1 year and they're not in it the next year.
Yeah.
They have no clue. Okay. They don't know that there's two different development studios. Okay.
Oh, okay.
They don't know. When they see Madden, they see EA, and they think it's one big company.
Right.
When it's actually, like, EA is made, you know, Madden is made by a different company. It's a subsidiary of EA called, I think, I forget, EA, Marin, I believe.
Okay.
Is the ones who do Madden. And they're a development studio, whereas EA is a publisher.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't understand all the intricacies and things. We forget these kind of things when we're making these discussions. Looking at Colonial Marines, the people who saw Colonial Marines, the gamer goes, who bought that, how many of them actually know who Gearbox is?
Yeah, that's fair.
How many of them know that's the same guys who did Borderlands? Because there's not a lot of crossover between those two franchises. You yeah. Look at, I mean, they look completely different. They play completely different, whatever.
Who published them? Was it 2K?
I'm trying to remember. I don't know.
Because I know Gearbox is published under 2K, but I know Sega... It was Sega's IP.
I think it was a Sega.
So I don't know
publish.
If it was. I don't know if it was sure. Sega published, but either way, that even that because like when I load up Borderlands, which I have been replaying lately, that 2K logo's popping up the first thing. Yes, there's a Gearbox logo that isn't animated, but man, that 2K. You know that sound. You know that visual 2K, and so you
play. That's why like when you play. We talked about Spec Ops a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
Spec Ops is a 2K game.
Yeah,
but it's actually made by a German studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we forget the developer's not the publisher.
Right. And, like, we know the difference and we know those things because we're, you know, we pay attention and that's kind of our whole deal is understanding in the industry, this is different. Publisher is different than the developer. How many, like, vanilla gamers who don't have, you know, study the industry the way that we do actually understand, oh, those are the same guys?
Well, okay. So one interesting thing with Aliens Colonial Marines was, a Reddit post that was created by an anonymous user that claimed that he worked on Aliens for a year and a half. And he's like, I can't prove that I worked on it because of my NDA, but let me just give you all these facts and you guys do what you want with them. And he details a lot of, you know, terrible situations that they're in, not to excuse them, but just help other people understand what the heck happened, why this was such a terrible game. I was really intrigued with the responses that it felt like a lot of people seemed to know the development process a lot better than the vanilla gamer, like you claimed. And so I wonder, transparency is becoming a much more interesting issue with us that we are. I mean, a lot of people, I don't know, this is game websites that I saw, but a lot of game websites were saying that Gearbox was running their sub developer house under the bus because they're like, well, they were supposed to make the campaign and it was crap. You know, and it's like, wow, why'd you guys run them under the bus? That, you know, and I thought that was kind of a bad move that they were, you know, they were bouncing another check of goodwill with that.
But you gotta remember, like, developers are people too. And so, like, you get into political contests among development. You know, you're dealing with bureaucracy and all kinds of things. You never know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, without actually being there, you can't tell. You can't go, oh, well, our designer was at the throat of another, you know, a producer.
Yeah.
You know, then they're just constantly battling the entire time and they're jamming up the whole process. We couldn't fire one guy because we needed an artist and we couldn't possibly hire somebody for that same amount. You know, there's a lot of politics that go into even in any game.
Sure.
And so like, but the fact is, and this is more important, is it comes down to bottom line. All the politics, all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It comes down to, is the game good? No. Okay. It's not a good game.
Yeah.
If it's not a good game, then all the other stuff doesn't matter. The fact is you put out a product that wasn't good.
Yeah.
Okay. All the things, all the wonderful, you know, whatever, you can learn all the lessons you want. But the fact is, you had a bad game. Okay, admit it. We need to take a look at it, go through our postmortems and figure out, okay,
own it.
We screwed this thing up.
Yeah.
Okay, how do we avoid this situation again when maybe we don't do two games at once? Maybe we don't have another publisher breathing down our neck to get this thing done.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we look at things a little differently and avoid that situation in the future. Okay, but that's whatever. I think this thing, I don't think it's going to be as big as everyone wants to make it. I think it was a big deal because certain people, especially in the critics community, really wanted to explain this thing. And it's a really good example of paying for something before you know what it is.
Yeah.
And especially being, the fact is, the consumer was, I don't want to say they were lied to. That seems like a very strong word. But the fact is, this bit of a false representation of what the players were actually going to get versus what they actually got.
Yeah. Well, I think the difference between this and Half-Life 2 was we promised you feature set A. Mm-hmm. We, you know, through development, we realized we're not going to deliver that, but we still gave you feature set B, which is just as comparable. So you didn't care.
Right.
They said, here's feature set A. We're going to give you feature set quarter of A. You know, not even part of A.
We're going to give you feature set A minus.
Yeah.
And it's, no, not even A minus. We're going to give you feature set C.
Yeah.
You know, and...
and it's...
We didn't even get that far.
Right. And, well, I mean, so one of my buddies that we had his, a lecture of his on the podcast, Luke Dickin, who's, like, he's working on a PhD in not just AI, but game AI. Like, this is his stuff, right? And I, as soon as I saw this, I'm like, Luke, you gotta talk to me. He's like, he really didn't even say anything. He's like, just go Google, pacifist aliens. And I was like, okay. And so I Googled it. It's a 2-3 minute video of one of the levels, and you're running through all these corridors and tunnels and all this stuff. And the guy is constantly sprinting the entire time, doesn't fire one bullet, and all of the AI will run towards him. And if he just jukes, just moves to the left, strafes to the left, and just keeps going, never stops. And the aliens never attack him. They just do nothing against him.
Yeah.
And they were just like, they created it for the optimal performance. They said, mm-hmm. here's the optimal method of playing this level and experiencing it. And to emphasize what that optimal level was, you hear in your radio, your squad mates going, take it slow. Don't go fast. If you go fast, they're going to totally annihilate us. We got to keep slow. And yeah, if you go slow, they jump out at you and they attack you and you'd experience it. But because there's only one optimal way of playing that game and they weren't able to, either they weren't able to or they didn't explore any other options,
yeah.
The AI was doo-doo. You know, and you see it in this 3-minute video and you're just like, oh my goodness, this is so depressing.
Yeah.
That this came out. Yeah. Oh, so all right. So
it's rough. I mean, I don't know what the, whatever, you know, I don't know what solution if that is. And it's just kind of,
well,
it's unfortunate, but
it makes me think of like that same week. I'm like, oh yeah, that got delayed a whole bunch. You know what else got delayed? BioShock Infinite. You know what? I was a little miffed last fall when they're like, oh, we got to delay it till March. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Why are you delaying this? And now I come, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot that's coming out. I don't pre-order. Mm-hmm. I'm about to pre-order that one because that one looks awesome.
Well, yeah.
You know, and hopefully they don't delay it again. But I've totally forgotten about any delays or any kind of negative possibilities that they had with
the thing
that
is,
delay.
You don't take a cake out of the oven before it's done.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you look at it and go, hey, you know, it's not ready yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's still going to be mush if you pull it out early.
It's,
you know, it's not going to taste good. It's going to, you know, be awful. Okay.
But if
if
the cake isn't done after 6 years,
it's still not done.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like the fact is like, you know, does releasing it early then mean it's okay to do so just because it's been 6 years?
Well, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
You don't know. I get
or
that
you
point.
Go, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be making this cake.
Well, and then I almost wonder if that's when you just go, this cake needs to be thrown away, or we need to start from scratch.
Yeah.
But
everybody loves cake.
But, like, the Aliens franchise almost seems like one of those things, like, don't make a movie out of a video game. Because there's never been a good movie out of a video game. Don't ever make, as much as you want to try to make a cool Aliens game, don't make it because
I'll
you
be
suck.
Honest.
It'll be bad.
Dead
you know?
Space was a better Aliens game than any Aliens game I've ever played.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Not Dead Space 3, but the original Dead Space was easily an Aliens game.
Sure.
That's what it was.
Weren't they called, what are they called?
They're called Necromorphs.
Necromorphs.
Dead Space.
Instead of Xenomorphs?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're made out of people in Dead Space. So
and,
like
they take on the form of the people they infest.
They take on the form of creatures. and they're aliens. Like they
yeah,
really
I know,
are.
Right?
And that's
I've never realized that until you
yeah.
mentioned it.
Dead Space is a game like they studied aliens and Alien and went, okay, let's make a game out of this. You're on a ship. You're an engineer by yourself.
Yeah.
You have a small crew. People dying from out of vents and climbing on the ceiling and all the things in, you know, it's just,
yeah.
It's what it is. And so that is you know, if you want to make an Aliens game, that's a great template for that.
Yeah.
You know, don't copy it immediately. I mean, there's plenty of stuff to draw from, but people don't go, oh, I need to remember all the soldiers that died. That's what I wanted to be. I want to be, or like, there's a lot of worlds to explore there, but that's a whole different conversation. Anyway, want to go over some Sony stuff.
All right, let's get on the Sony bus.
I guess what was the thing that stood out to you the most?
Ash?
Media Molecules.
Media Molecules.
ZBrush. It's like ZBrush on the PlayStation. You use the PlayStation Move wand and you sculpt things and you play with your sculpt things and it's, it is the coolest thing I think I've ever seen.
It was a really cool presentation. I was
gosh, that was the best one.
That stole the entire thing for me. I don't even care about the PS4.
Every right Media now. Molecule thing that I've seen, I'm impressed with. I love their just way of thinking, way of developing. It's interesting, and it's unique, and it's different.
I got really excited, and I agree with Ash. This was my moment, too. And the reason was is I'm not a consumer anymore. This is not a consumer product. This is a producer product. I can actually produce material and content. And that's something very substantial. That was the moment that I wanted an iPad was when I could get 123D Sculpt. Autodesk makes it, I think. Mm-hmm. And you can 3D model with it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And instead of, here's a stupid thing to shut my child up with, I would give it, instead of like, no, you can't have this, don't play with this, I would give it to my child and say, what can you make? I want you to make things. I want you to produce content.
That's been a molecule thing for a long time. That's what they do.
Yeah, make your levels and you share them absolutely with the rest of the world.
And what's really interesting is people that never call themselves gamers and they go, well, we do kind of have a PS3, but we get it for the Blu-ray. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm like, but have you played Little Big Planet? Like, people that don't consider them gamers get attracted to this console because they're producing. They're not just consuming. They're actually creating content and being a part of a community, which is really neat. And it's exciting that you don't need to be a hardcore gamer to experience the console. You know, and it's just trying to find avenues that make it possible.
Why do you think Minecraft is so popular? With people who don't even play games. I know a lot of people who don't play much, and they play Minecraft.
Because Minecraft is Legos digitally.
It's Legos, but it's building. You're creating.
Minecraft's
not a game. Like that, we've had that conversation before.
They're trying.
I don't want them to be.
Yeah, you don't need
that's
to.
That's not their success.
It's still very successful. You don't need to make it into a game. It's just not a game.
Yeah.
It's
this thing looked like more of a toy, too.
Right, and that's the thing. So is Little Big Planet. Like, Little Big Planet, there is a game to Little Big Planet, but the actual, like, engine and substance of Little Big Planet is not the game of it. It's the tools that are given to you and allowed.
What can you do with this? Yeah. Well, like, so let's see if we can explain a little bit better. I loved what he said. Like, this phrase was so beautiful. He says, we have been trying to find 3D modeling tools, and we've been using everything under the sun, and I am so sorry that it took us this long to realize it's the PlayStation Move. Like, I loved that he said that. Like, it was just like, wow, you know, it was much more sincere. Like, check this out; it's a game where you shoot people and your heads explode. You know, he's like, I'm sorry it took us this long to figure it out, but here it is, the PlayStation Move, very much like ZBrush with a mouse, but instead of a mouse, you have your wand, and the wand knows both X, Y, and Z axes, all three axes, so that you can move it in front and behind, and you can be building physical sculptures right on screen that you're manipulating. And
they're rather detailed. Like, impressed with the level of detail on those sculpts.
It was absolutely brilliant.
And they had hundreds. They said, we've been making, you know, so many of these things.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, okay, now I have a Little Big Planet, which is 2D, right? Mm-hmm. But could you imagine a Little Big Planet that's 3D, and I'm standing in the middle of my play space, this cube, and I reach to the side with the Move, and I grab X object, and I drop it here, and I put one in front of that, and put one to the left of it, and behind it, and to the right, and on top. You know, it's like all of a sudden I'm building a 3D space level with the same tools. I was geeking out. I was like, okay, I can't wait for that to happen. That would be so neat.
The most interesting thing about Media Molecule is that when they make the Little Big Planet levels, they made it using the editor that they created. Okay. Like, all those levels are things that you have the potential to make.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, they're a little better at it than most people because they designed it. you know, they know all the ins and outs of it. But the fact is, like, giving the tools to your audience saying, here, try this. These are the same things we use. Go.
Yeah.
See what you can do. That's why Minecraft is so successful in the same aspect. It's like, you have the same tools everyone else does. Go.
Yeah.
Try. Make something.
I took a sociology class, and we talked about the discrepancies with when you're born
everyone's not born equal. You know, we all man is created equal. That's bull crap. Because I'm born into a family that makes, my parents make $800,000 a month. Yours is living on, you know, pennies on the dollar, minimum mm-hmm. wage, whatever. You were born into this race. I was born into this race. And all those things immediately define you as where you are. And one of the things that I've always been fascinated with games is they place you on a even keel. You're all at the literal same starting line. You can choose your race, you can choose your stats or your class, say in an MMO, but something like Minecraft, you have nothing just as much as anyone else does. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's very interesting on how the social aspects of a game like that bring people together, because I totally understand why people want to exist in that world just for the sake that I have the same as you when I started, and I can work up. And it's all about working, and it's all about that American dream, if you will, that if I work as hard, I can get to level 80 just like you.
Well, right? I think you hit upon something. Like, the idea of equality in games is like, you can choose your race, you can choose your look, you can choose to be a male, female, whatever. Uh-huh. But in most games, it doesn't matter. It's a paint.
Yeah.
It's a color, it's a t-shirt that you're wearing. Okay.
Or it's a motivation, because the Horde versus the Alliance, right?
Well, sure, but what I'm saying is that, like, in a game, all the same choices are given to every single player.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And that, I think, is the most important part. And when, you know, I don't remember, we were talking about microtransactions earlier today, but not necessarily in this.
It's like pseudo, okay. Which one? You're talking about ammo?
We were talking about the
it's like pseudo microtransactions.
But the idea of, like, microtransactions changing the game,
uh-huh.
I think is one of the core problems that gamers often have with this, is that for so long, you were equal when you started.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You were equal when you started. If you wanted to be level 80, you wanted to be the super badass, super awesome warrior of Doom, that's fine. It's within your reach because you can go play.
Yeah.
All you have to do is play the game enough and you'll get there. Okay? Now, it's all you got to do is play the game, or I guess you could just pay $5.
Well, okay, so
okay.
I can go online right now and buy a level 80 World of Warcraft
writer
if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So what difference is that?
The difference is that exists, okay?
Legitimately?
The fact that it exists at all.
Okay. Okay.
The problem that, and this is what irks a lot of gamers, this is karate's opinion.
Okay? Get off that soapbox.
It's always my opinion, but like this is what I'm saying, is that like, I think the reason why it bothers players, and it bothers me, is that I spent time and effort and put together I crafted my character, I went through experiences, suddenly, you, because you had a wallet that has a bunch of money in it, therefore, you could skip by all the work. Okay? It's too real for gaming. Okay?
Interesting.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think
that's the... I don't know if that's a problem, but I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but, like, that's my thought, is that in gaming, you're equal, like I said. So, when the real world interferes with the game, and suddenly I can just pay my way to success, whereas the other person had to work for it. Creating a diametrically opposed situation. You're creating the white collar versus blue collar. You're creating a class system whereby these guys are the ones who can afford to pay for the game. These guys are the ones, they're the under-level, you know, sub-level people.
All right, so let's see if I can throw out an argument against it.
Okay.
Time is time, money is money, you know, capital is capital. Mm-hmm. Whether I spend that time, whether I spend that physical capital building up that level character, or build up that capital earning money out in the real world and then using that money to apply towards this example, instead of buying more Cheetos or buying an exercise bike, I decide to spend that money on a level 80 character. Is that a valid argument towards capital is capital? And so I'm building up, yes, a different type of gaming capital by playing, experiencing it, leveling up, going through that, you know, sweat, blood, and tears kind of argument. But, well, I'm going to just put that effort towards something else And then the byproduct of that is going to be money that I can use towards just, you know, equally finding an equal balance with that character. You
here's, think that's here's a, my difference. I spent 4 years getting a bachelor's degree.
Uh-huh.
You went and bought one online.
Those bastards! Okay. I already feel it. I feel your side.
you understand what I'm saying? You see the difference? It's what the... And this is... Obviously, we're in a very hypothetical situation
here, okay? Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, one represents 4 years of effort, sweat, blood, whatever.
Yeah.
You put in the time, you were, you know, late night studying, you gave up a lot in order to get that degree.
Yeah.
The other guy, his dad's, you know, Daddy Warbucks went and bought him a degree.
Okay.
The end.
So,
do you feel slighted because your degree means the same as his?
I do, but at the same time,
it's still just money.
Okay. No, okay. You win for this one, but I guess.
High five.
I didn't do anything. I don't know why I'm high-fiving here.
Because he won't high-five me. No, I don't high-five you for that.
Like impartial mediator?
That's a valid point to make. I get the other thing, though, for that example, I go, I'm not too concerned because I have a way better chance of getting the job if both of us apply.
Maybe.
You know, and that's a hope, right? I can't verify that. I can't verify that because it there's almost kind of a social stigma that, you know, you want to be part of a accredited college, right? Versus a, you know, fly by night or online college.
Well, sure. I'm giving you the example. This is, you know, in a gamer's world, you know, in gaming. That's, you're on equal standing.
Yeah.
Money doesn't matter because it's all about who, you know, what you are willing to put. It's really the work that you're willing to put into your
game. How much skin you're willing to put in
the game. As opposed to how many dollars you're willing to put into it.
Yeah. Well, okay, so
I just thought it was interesting.
Let's get some specs or some baseline stuff that they talked about.
Well, first off, let's talk about the specs of the PS4. All right.
What we were able to garner.
And now let's move on.
We know it's named PS4.
It's got 8 gigabytes of RAM.
High speed RAM.
As opposed to the other speed RAM.
Yes. It's like, say, natural.
It has a hard drive, guys.
It's powered by a x86 CPU.
Yes.
I'm not sure what that means, but sure.
What else is there
and
nowadays?
It's got really powerful graphics.
Yeah. It's got powerful graphics. It's a supercharged computer.
Yeah, well...
I remember supercharged being in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, so Twitter was like, oh, cool, so I get to play games on a computer. Like, everyone was calling it a PC because not so much the specs, but just, like, the way they were talking about the architecture. And the architect of it was talking about this.
Well, this is a conversation I was having with somebody online just a little while ago. Okay. One guy was talking about, ooh, I don't remember what site I was having this conversation on. I think it was The Escapist. But one guy was talking about, well, I have a PC. Like, I have a PC that I play games on. What's the difference between that and that thing? It's like, there's a very slight distinction. You have a device that is a gaming device with other things on it, right? And then you have a device that wasn't originally designed for gaming that... on. You know, your phone was not made as a game device.
It was made as a phone.
Right. That's exactly. Yeah, it was made as a phone.
But you can have games on.
Okay. But yeah, and then you play games. The Xbox was a game console first. It was for gaming. And then you can also now watch Netflix and HBO and whatever.
Okay? Yeah.
Now there's apps for the gaming console. Okay. The difference here, and it's a very slight distinction, and the farther we get in time, the more this line is blurring over and over again, you know, of like there's so much crossover. And even Sony was talking about the crossover here.
Right.
But because of that, the PlayStation was designed to play games first. Okay.
PlayStation 1?
PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Were designed. This is meant to play games.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, there's all this extra stuff here, but everything centers on the game.
Well, they actually said that. They showed, I remember one time, which, thinking about it now, is I thought, well, but there was an image and they just showed like thousands of, a big mosaic of thousands of gamers mm-hmm. playing games in whatever form that it was in. And they're like, this is, remember, this is what we're about.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's, okay.
It's about, like, it's centered on the game versus a PC. A PC is, as much as the guy who builds a, you know, $3,000 rig, he's a gamer. Don't get me wrong. You know, he's hardcore. Well, good for him. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. But the fact is, he's taking all the pieces in order to build a rig to play games on something that originally was not designed to play games on.
Was meant for spreadsheets.
Right. Yeah. You know, a PC was built as a work device. It's a working tool.
Yeah.
And a game is really just a computer program that's played on that. Whereas, like, it still is when you're on a gaming console, but this is designed from the ground up. How do we make your gaming experience better? Mm-hmm. That's the idea.
Yeah.
That's my, and it's a, like, it's a slight distinction, whatever, but I think.
It's a valid distinction because there's been plenty of game controllers, third-party game controllers that you can plug into a PC mm-hmm. to experience gaming the way you would on a console, right? Sure. And they're almost all replicas of a PlayStation controller or an Xbox mm-hmm. controller because those guys created a controller with the intent for it to be used with a gaming console, mm-hmm. to be used with its initial purpose of a game. Everyone else is like, well, we should make let's make PC more game friendly. It needs WASD just ain't cutting it. Let's just get you a controller. And they know what they were doing. Let's copy that.
Yeah, and like, it doesn't make the PC games any less valid.
No.
It doesn't make it whatever. And I don't know. It is something, it's a minor distinction, and I just think that when you, I don't want to get into the PC versus console, I think both are valid. Like, I'm not going to play League of Legends, can I make obligatory
League of Legends reference? Oh, how dare you?
I'm not going to play League on my console. I tried it with Battle for Middle Earth. It's terrible.
Okay. Well, and I've heard that Battle for Middle Earth is nothing but League for dummies.
Yes, it really is.
It's a dumbed-down, watered-down version.
I did great in it, you know?
Oh, really?
I did wonderful in it. I was like, but there's nothing here. Huh. There's a lot of the finesse is missing because a controller can only do so much.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a lot of things in League, you take the mouse for granted because it just becomes I need to buy this. Click, 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 type, just, I can do all the stuff that I need to do.
Sure.
And I'm not even thinking about it. Whereas in Battle for Middle Earth, I'm like, I could have like four inputs.
Yeah.
That's all I can do.
How the heck do I open the menu? Well, okay. So this is, which discusses the issue of designing for the hardware,
right?
And League was designed for the hardware.
Yes.
And there's no way that Warcraft 3 could have worked on a console the same way that Dota, which was a branch from Warcraft 3, which, you know, League of Legends would never have worked on a console.
Which, funny enough, brings up that we're going to go way
back. Oh, my goodness, Blizzard, what did you do?
Well, the thing with Diablo 3 is I still can't imagine that on a console.
Oh, really?
I keep thinking about how I play it on the computer, and it's just, I'm trying to figure out how they're going to do
it. So just real quick, Blizzard came up, and it was a big hoopla. I don't remember the guy's name or coming up. I apologize.
I didn't write his name
down. He came up and announced big, that Blizzard is going to be on the PS4. It's like, whoa, that's awesome. Is it going to be the new Kingdom Hearts? Not Kingdom Hearts. Is it going to be the new, you know, what are they going to do? New IP?
Yeah, there's a new code name.
StarCraft Ghost? Like, oh my God.
Yeah, please
make StarCraft Ghost. Oh my gosh, the first person shooter.
But yeah. Is this, what's going to happen? And then the big old announcement was Diablo 3 is on there.
Oh no, but like, that wasn't a kick in the nuts enough. And they're like, oh, we're going to give it, this is going to be on PS4 and PS3.
Okay, now, the idea of controls on Diablo 3, I played Torchlight on the Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and it's a dungeon crawler. Right. Same way that this is. It may not be as fluid, I don't know. I played Diablo a long time ago, Diablo 2, and it felt fluid on the PC then, and it felt fluid on a console then. If only they design it with the control in mind, you couldn't just like plop it on there and try to use the mouse, okay? Ah. But if it's instead built the way that Torchlight was, I'm all for it.
So, which comes to another thing that they were discussing with the PS Vita. And it, this has been my biggest issue with the Vita. It's been out almost 2 years, and there hasn't been a game that has
that was designed for the hardware. They were just like, hey, we got a really cool franchise, Assassin's Creed. Let's throw a port on there. Well, hey, we got Uncharted.
Unit 13 is actually designed pretty well for the console.
Is it? Okay.
As is Little Deviance and the new Tearaway coming from
Unit. Yeah, like Tearaway, I think, is going to be their flagship. This was designed for the hardware.
But,
and
okay, so I have a Vita. I like it. I'm a big fan of the thing.
Are you? Okay.
I honestly put it off until I could, like, save some money up and afford it. But the fact is, like, I liked the idea of it, and it has a good stable with it now. As I'm playing it, I love playing with the Vita. It's a great system.
Okay.
It's something that it's hard and it's difficult. Actually, Sterling had a problem. Getting people to play the thing was the hardest part. We'll go, oh, you know, what do I need it for?
Yeah.
Honestly, you don't need it. It's a luxury item.
Like, it really is.
It's a, you gotta be a gaming nerd to buy this thing. Okay. But it's awesome. Like, it feels right. I love playing it. It's got a good heft to it. It's solid. Doesn't feel like it's going to break on me. The old PSPs, I always felt like I was going to shatter the dang thing.
Huh.
The dual thumbsticks work. Touch screens work. Everything does what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a functional, OS. You know, I can pause games whenever I want, drop out, turn it off, come back. I'm right back into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very fluid system. And honestly, the more they talked about the PS4, it felt like the Vita was a dry run for the PS4 OS.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
That makes a horse load more sense, because the PS4 just never felt like it worked. And there was kind of suggestion and promise
PS3.
That. No, I'm sorry, the Vita.
The Vita.
That makes a lot more sense what the Vita was, because it never seemed to fit. And there was promise of, oh, you're going to play games directly or indirectly with the PS3 game. And everyone's like, so when's that going to happen? Give me a call, because it's not happening. You know, and I still think, like, Assassin's Creed 3, I can play that, but I could play that on a Game Boy. There's one time when I use the touchscreen, and that is when you receive a letter and you have to open it by putting your thumb on the front screen, your finger on the back screen, and sliding it across as if you're cutting the top of the... I'm like, dude, I get it. I appreciate you just tried to use the touchscreens, but that was corny.
I'm a big... I don't like when tech is used for the sake of tech.
Oh, yeah. And that's where that felt
I can't stand it. If the tech is valid,
mm-hmm.
For example, the Uncharted Golden Abyss, okay?
The Vita title.
The Vita title. Uncharted, there's a lot of instances, like the rubbing of... you have to do, like, charcoal rubbings of things, and you just make...
Moving your finger
back and forth in order to rub a thing. Or you're cleaning an artifact by brushing dirt off of it. And I was like, this is stupid. Like, this is dumb. But when I'm throwing grenades...
Yeah.
And I can just move the grenade and put it exactly where I need to go, and it goes right there, as opposed to hitting the wall next to me because I push the grenade button.
Yeah.
It's like the coolest thing in the world. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, that sells me on that. And, you know,
yeah.
That's why touchscreen works for that system.
Well, and I thought it was so significant when Sterling said that his 5-year-old or 3-year-old was playing Madden on there, and he won a game, and he was just like, Dad, I think I just won a game, you know? And he's like, holy crap! But he was fascinated that his son could make plays by drawing them out.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense for a football game, right? There's times where I'm really excited for Tearaway, because I feel like that should have been the flagship game to show off the console. But if it makes a lot of sense as a dry run, because there was tons of talk of sharing. There was tons of talk, you know, Gaikai, a streaming service, cloud gaming. They get bought out by Sony last year. He spent a good 10, 15 minutes talking about the sharing and the streaming, and they want everything accessible. And it was quite silly, because he's like, this great experience on your TV you can now put to your thing. We're like, because I want to take 50 inches of great experience into 5 inches of OLED. I love how he called it OLED. I'm like, it's OLED, damn it. It sounds absolutely ridiculous, and we were absolutely cynical during the entire thing, and even Twitter, everyone on Twitter was just so cynical about this.
Well, we're a bunch of game devs.
Because we're a bunch of game devs and we're cynical. But now I'm like, okay, now it makes sense.
Right.
I mean,
I don't know anything. But
a lot of this is speculation. But
it feels like Vita was a dry run. Can we make this thing work? Yes, we can make it work. We need firmware that's designed. Like, the PS3 firmware was not designed with the Vita in mind.
Okay. Yeah.
The PS,
yeah.
We've talked about this before, but the PS3 was not designed with online in mind first.
No.
It was not designed with a lot of features. You know, that's why, like, everything feels so jankety on a PS3 because, mm-hmm. like, games that are designed specifically for the PS3 work brilliantly. Anything else that's ported just, like, screws the system up.
Right.
Okay. And, like, you know, I was playing Fallout New Vegas and it was just breaking on me every, like, I got to about level 50 and I just, the game would just freeze randomly all the time. What's going on? And I went online and found out, oh, because there's, you know, I don't know the specifics, but they're basically, you're trying to access two RAM chips of 256 instead of the 512 on the Xbox or something like that.
Yeah.
And because of that, like, it, you're trying to feed the same amount of information through the PS3 that the Xbox is doing, but it's running at half at a time or something.
Interesting.
But that's the problem.
Did you let your dog die? Is that what it was?
I let the dog die and just killed everything. No, it's just, I love Fallout. I've been playing it again recently on the Xbox just because of that. But, like,
yeah.
I look at now the PS3. The PS3, as much as it was problems as it's had over its history,
mm-hmm.
from the, it was way too expensive at launch, to it only does everything, but it doesn't quite do everything, to we're going to add the PSN, but it's going to be free because we didn't include it at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, now we have the PlayStation Plus. Why would I buy that thing? Because it has so many games on it. Oh, now I know why I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Well, but at the time, I was like, what would I pay for this? It's free.
When they made the PlayStation Plus, then they started saying, okay, every month, here's a deck of free games.
Yeah.
For $80 a year? Is that what it's, $79?
It's $50 a year.
$50 a year? Mm-hmm. I can get, like, freaking awesome games.
That's the seller now. But at the time when they announced it, they were fighting against so many systems. Because, PS3 has almost been a, like, react to what's happening outside of them.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Oh, well, the Wii had a motion thing. Okay, we'll come out with a Move. What do I do with it? Well, it's more sensitive than the Move, than the Wiimote.
It's not just sensitive. That thing is freaking amazing.
Well, I know. But, like, that is the selling point. Doesn't do it because it was like, oh, well, who cares? You know, I don't play the PlayStation for the Wii. I have a Wii.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, and you come up with a killer reason to have one. You know, all these different things, you know, we need online. Well, okay, we added online. But it's free because we were late.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we want you to pay for it now. Why? Because we'll give you free stuff. Oh,
that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. I guess.
But it took them a long time to figure that out. It wasn't wasn't day one.
With
right?
The hacking system and all these things. I mean, PS3 has had a rough time.
Yeah.
Okay. So PS4, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but I hope they took a lot of lessons from this generation and went, we want to be on the forefront again.
Yeah.
We want. What do our gamers? You know, what do gamers want? Let's look at it. And it looks like a lot of things that they've done. We can talk about the controller with a touchpad. We can talk about the new motion sensing thing that has. We can talk about the share buttons and all these things.
The share button.
But I feel like
the invite creepers to watch your game.
Oh gosh, that's a whole. But the thing is, like, having a social experience with somebody else. I even if as much as we make fun of it, having these experiences and looking at them, saying okay. Yes, there's a possibility of that happening, but more likely, you can have your friend say, hey, come here. I want you to look at this.
Check this out.
You got to watch what I can do with this. Okay. You see that ledge? Boom, 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 boom. Totally nailed it.
Yeah.
How the hell did you do that?
That nothing but net moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's, well, when you're playing a horse and the guy launches it from like half court.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoosh, all right, you're up.
Yeah. When it did look absolutely sexy how there's a share button on your controller. You push the button. It kind of like, I couldn't tell. Does it pull you out?
Or my guess is it's going to work similar to the Vita, where you push the button.
Yeah, it pulls you out.
It's going to pull that last 10 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, it pulls you out. It shows you kind of like a movie reel, and you can select when to start and when to end, and then you just say upload, and boop, it's on Facebook or it's mm-hmm. on YouTube or whatever. And you can say, dude, check this out. I just did this. You know, and that's really, really awesome.
Well, I mean, Ashley and I started laughing. We were watching it. And he goes, oh, I'll send you a video of me sniping you in the head. I said, okay, I'll send you a video of me right behind you about to knife you. And then I'll knife you in the back. And I was like, Yes, that I mean, it's obviously trolling, but it's funny.
Oh, man.
It's new ways to interact with your friends.
Do you remember the YouTube videos when someone would show their video of they're like, I'm about to snipe you, and then... And I remember there was one where the kid pulls out, does an Xbox message with the terrible, you know, controls, and he's like, I'm about to get you, stupid idiot. And then as he does that, a third guy comes by and kills him. and he's like, ah! You know, and like that moment, but faster without clunky keyboards.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like being able to like play around with your friends and be like, because like, and this was kind of their center focus. And as much as we can talk about the games and stuff, and I think we should at some point, but maybe not tonight. But the idea of creating a more social atmosphere in a gaming setting, you know, not only like Xbox does a pretty good job of it. Okay, but at the same time, you're limited by you have to set up a party system. You have to do these things. If they can make a seamless, hey, I'm just going to drop in and talk with you a bit. Oh, you're in the middle of something? Okay, all right. Oh, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I'll talk to you later.
Oh, okay. Oh, Karate, you're playing a game. You're too serious. I can't talk to you. Right now.
Sorry, you're too focused.
You're too focused.
I can't make a joke with you, or you know, or whatever. But like, I mean, and the fact that you can control how social you want to be or whatever. But creating interconnectivity, we are an interconnected people right now.
Yeah,
Facebook. Everyone's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's one of the. I mean, we send out these invites to everybody. What did we do before? In before Facebook invites, hey, you should come to this party. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You had to call your friend who'd call the phone tree and call his friend and make. Is he going to come? I don't know.
Yeah. Now you sent letters out.
You sent letters.
Which ancillary, but actually very valid to this, USPS. The federally regulated postal service is no longer delivering on Saturdays. It is getting so less used because of other means of transferring information that they can't afford to run on Saturdays anymore, which is really sad, but it's the way it is.
It's a product. We also don't use ponies for, sending messages. For vehicles.
Yeah.
We happen to have airplanes now.
Telegraph. Should stick around though. I've been wanting to make a Morse code.
Game. I know the Morse code.
Morse code game. Good heavens, it would be so epic.
A Morse code app.
Yeah.
Just like. Deep, deep, deep,
deep, deep, deep, deep. Yeah. Oh, anyways, digressing.
That's funny.
Okay, so let's.
But that's my thought. I think it's a really good thing that we're. I like interconnectivity as much as sometimes I can't stand Facebook. You know, there's bound to be bad elements that come in. I think the potential for interesting and new ways to interact with your friends in games is a powerful tool.
Yeah, and I, like, right before I was joking with someone, I was like, well, if this is Farm Station or Playville, you know, that's totally what this is going to be. It's going to be nothing but a social experience. You have to be online all the time, which they didn't say one way or another, but, like, I was cynically discussing it, but at the same time, that's what they really pitched. I mean, that's what they really were selling us on. Is like,
well, they want you to be.
We want you. You know, that share button. To the extent where the phrase was used,
everything, everywhere. That was their little motto.
Was that their motto this time? But I like that phrase. They said, you can jump in. You can spectate a play session, so much so that you can actually take control away from from the player.
And that
was
different.
Weird. But I loved your Dead Space experience.
Oh, sorry.
Tell me this. This was awesome.
The idea, like, I don't even know if it's feasible. Like, I mean, I don't know I don't know anything.
Yeah.
This is just my designing hat. But I was reading a post that somebody put up just as somebody explained that, and he was just ranting about, why would I ever want to give control of, my game over to somebody else? It's like, okay, maybe you wouldn't do that. But maybe instead, there's a setting in the game that you can have people jump in and you don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're playing a horror game like Dead Space or, some Silent Hill or something like that, where there's creatures. And you already know how these creatures work because you've been playing these games for a while. Well, your friend jumps in without you knowing and takes control of one of the creatures. And suddenly he's like sneaking around behind you smartly, being a smart creature. And like, and he just like, he stabs you in the back. Where did that guy come from?
Yeah.
How did I not know? I checked that already.
Yeah.
This isn't the way that games work. Okay. And being able to do, I mean, that's a trolling way, but what if, he takes control of you're in a Call of Duty game, and suddenly it isn't a co-op game exactly, But he hops into the, he's your buddy, you know, yeah. and one of your squad mates. He's just like, boom, all right, I'm with you.
Yeah,
you know?
let's go.
He's just with you suddenly, and he's helping you out, okay?
And it becomes more of a seamless co-op.
Yes, like where, because you don't, sometimes you want a solo experience, but sometimes it'd be fun. Like, you can always just turn that off. But if you were to have these kinds of situations and you didn't know it, you know, if you didn't know, like, it's that's one of the charms of Journey, was the fact that you didn't know who this person was that you were going along with. Mm-hmm. Okay, you just dropped in. You're hanging out.
You know? And I thought you dropped in and you played with one person the entire time.
No.
And it wasn't until the very end, I'm like, oh my gosh, I played with six different people.
Yeah.
Holy crap. You know, this is so cool.
And the seamlessness is what sells that idea. And I think if that technology can be used the same way in order to, again, create social experiences that you didn't even realize that you wanted. You didn't even realize that you've never had before. You know, and that's, I think, progressing in game, even especially as developers, is looking at something in a different way.
Ashley, what do you think? Would you want that? I mean, you're pretty hardcore first person shooter.
I'm pretty hardcore just play by myself person. No. Its potential. Like, I see where it could go. In some instances, it could be more of like an I need help sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Or I like the idea of just jumping in and being the buddy, being a seamless co-op.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so every time
and
I pull
if
up,
I don't want to play with you, I will ignore you.
Yeah, you just turn it off. It's like,
but,
hey.
Yeah. But every time I pull up my Xbox and I see Karate's online, it says he wants someone to play with him in Dead Space. He wants someone to play with him in Mass Effect 3. And I go, oh, maybe I should go help him. You know, and those are just like automatic messages that are being created in the game, and they message Xbox Live and all his friends. But man, what if that was more seamless, right? Mm-hmm. What if that exact same experience goes, dude, let's go. Come on. You know, and I hit a button and I'm in there. I'm like, let's go. Come on. Let's, you know, and let's fight it.
That's also how Spencer plays all the time.
Yes.
He makes that voice pretty odd.
I don't have many friends on Xbox.
We can't figure out why.
Spams me too.
Shut up. So before this, we were talking about how you don't have many friends on Xbox Live because
I have more friends on my Xbox because that's my older console.
But either one, they're all people that you know in person.
Most
of them, and because you're a woman, there's a completely different level of harassment that we don't see as men.
This is like way different topic.
But is it like, do you feel that cooperative or that social element will affect you differently because you're a woman? Because there's different dynamics as a gamer girl.
What this was looking at, it's going to be your friends. I'm going to know who's going to be popping in or not.
Okay,
I'm not really concerned with that. Okay. I'll chat, but it's only with people I know.
Yeah,
because I did see someone had quoted. I didn't remember hearing it, but I saw someone that quoted it later that said that they're focusing more on real life friends and real life social contacts than just people that you randomly pick up in the game. Right.
I think that's smart.
I agree. I think it is smart, but I'm just wondering if because you see something that we don't see. You know, we see a 12-year-old idiot that calls us a noob. We're just like, whatever. But, you know, there's a level of harassment that comes that we never experience.
No, people experience it too. Guys have experienced the same level of harassment.
Yeah, but I think women get it way worse than we ever do.
And I know that there's like this big thing going on with women in games and whatnot. But mm-hmm. I mean, it really depends on the people you're playing with in that particular game.
Okay.
Like, most of my harassment comes from Call of Duty, and that's a very different crowd than a lot of different other games.
Okay. Because, Borderlands, like, I get excited when people jump in my game. I intentionally make public games.
I like it when you're in my game. You do all the quests for me!
It was that one time!
That's a little different. But I think what's interesting is that, like, okay, this generation, we've seen a lot more co-op experiences.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember, like, if I were to go back through my head, Double Dragon was co-op. Then Turtles in Time was co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Battletoads.
Co-op.
I can't think of a whole lot of other co-op games.
Yeah, there's not.
You know,
where playing together. Let's see. I know there are ones where, like, you switch off. Like,
Donkey Kong did that.
Mario Brothers.
Desert Golf. It was a 4-player co-op game on PS2 and GameCube. Huh. I think Xbox as well.
Yeah, like I know a lot of multiplayer games, but never co-op.
But like, now, like, I mean, Borderlands
party
co-op.
Games.
Okay, you have a lot of games where you're working together.
Right.
And now we have like some, especially even looking at just shooters, PlanetSide is a big co-op game.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a ginormous co-op.
I imagine 6,000 people. Destiny, when it comes out, will have a lot of co-op elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
It may have some, you know.
From what I've seen, they do the whole pop in and pop out kind of thing too.
But because of that, I think, you know, again, going back to the social atmosphere of this whole console, the idea that these kind of things are going to become more common. You're going to encourage co-op gameplay. Why? Because I want to play with my friends, not against my friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes you want to play against them. Okay.
Sometimes karate just wants to knife me in the back. I want to quickscope him in the face.
Yeah, sometimes it's just what happens.
In the face.
Sometimes it's fun to do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want to play with your friends and be on the same team and hang out. You want to create better friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the best way to do that is not to be fighting against each other.
Sure.
But to be hanging out with your bud. Hey, we totally took those guys on. We're awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we totally beat that game together. We're awesome.
Well, League of Legends, we get in a room together and we're like, dude, that game was epic last night. We were almost going to die. And then we totally did this and that and we won.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't, or most of the time
we totally
we're a
little frustrated because we all suck.
Yeah.
Except for Brandon because he can hold his own.
But because of that, I think, you know, let's go back to the whole idea of making a social atmosphere. I think this is going to encourage more co-op and more interesting co-op experiences in these games. Again, I don't think our other games are going to go away. I really think